Welcome, bold Americans. So excited to have you here for a weekly recap. It's been a while since we've been live because Chris Michaels had to go get married and get to his honeymoon. But we're going to be back today with a weekly recap, not with a guest. In the spirit of the old weekly recaps, we're going to have some good old fun talking the headlines, talking everything out. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening or watching America Emboldened with Greg Bolden and Chris Michaels. Here on the America Out Loud News Network and all social media channels. Let's get emboldened.
America. Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
All right, bold Americans, let's get emboldened indeed. We are back with a live recap episode, both for the network as well as all socials. If you're joining in, you know the drill. You can leave us comments in real time. We will see them. We can put them up on the board and react to them. We're going to be covering a lot today. We're going to be covering RFK Jr., talk about Donald Trump. We're going to talk about and Biden. We're going to also talk about the eclipse, talk about the earthquake, and so much more. But first, we got to bring Chris Michaels up to the stage. Because he's newly married. Congratulations, Chris.
Thank you very much, Greg. Yes, I married the love of my life. And you were there to see it.
I was there to see it. So you gained a wife, and I think I gained 10 pounds from all the food that you had at your reception. It was absolutely delicious. Tellers in Long Island did not disappoint. From the cocktail hour, all the food that you guys had, which was more than enough. I think that I wasn't prepared for the Delmonico that basically was the size of the cow on my plate when it showed up, or the New York strip steak that they put in addition to it. I had a blast. Wife and I absolutely loved celebrating with both of you. It was a beautiful wedding. Your bride looked absolutely stunning in her dress with her veil going all the way back as a train as she came up. The veil was just flowing. It was beautiful. People missed out, but it was phenomenal. I have to take my word for it for those that were not there in our listening audience, but great job.
Well, I can post some pictures if you want. You could see me in a suit. How about that? Instead of a flannel, I'll actually have a tie on. And you could see my blushing bride, and everyone can say, oh my goodness, look at those two. But oh my God, I heard everybody say the same thing, that we could have ended it at the cocktail hour because of the amount of food.
I mean, I wouldn't want you to end it at the cocktail hour because a lot went down at your wedding for me personally that I don't even know that you're aware of all went down. But
from my understanding,
yes,
you inserted both feet in said mouth, and you are a podcaster, so that's not an easy feat.
Well, in my said understanding, I wasn't expecting you to have Letitia James's best friend sitting with me. What the hell is that all about? How did Mayor Adams, employee, attorney, I think, I'm not quite sure what the relationship is there, but I know he worked with Mayor Adams, best friends with Letitia James because I put my foot in my mouth during that point in time, and he's had lunch with Judge Engoron. What the hell was this guy doing at your wedding, Chris Michaels? You have an infidel, an infiltrator at your wedding.
That is true. I did have, you have to see both sides of the equation. You know, it's DEI, it's affirmative action. You have to have other people from the other side attend your wedding just to check off the box, you know. It didn't meet the 10% threshold, but we did try at least some of the attendees.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there, and the other couple didn't show up.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Before we go down this road, how did all of this come up?
Well, I mean, I am somebody who talks a lot.
Yes.
So when you start asking me about what I do in life, and how
don't
do I know?
Say the day job.
Well, no, exactly. I normally don't say what. But when they're at, how do you know Chris Michaels? Well, we go way back to 13 months ago when I discovered his podcast and invited him on as my guest. Now he's my co-host on Fridays, Thursday nights. And so they said, well, what do you talk about? And I said, well, what don't we talk about? We cover a lot of different ground. And then I think you came over and with the person that you invited made a Trump comment to her. And she's like, oh, get out of here. And I thought that was interesting because I was like, does she not know that you're a Donald Trump supporter? And she was trying to like peg me to find out what I was. And I said, well, that's Chris. I give it to both sides pretty equally. I'm definitely probably not in the Donald Trump camp 100% of the time, although I do think he's been unfairly treated, especially here in the state of New York. And that's where the floodgates opened because then I discovered that this other guy that was there wanted to know more about how I felt that he was being treated unfairly.
Yeah.
And so the first couple questions I thought were great because I asked him, I said, hey, you know, I might put this on my show to let you know. So if you answer this, you might hear it. So I'm allowed to share this, Chris. But I asked him, I said, hey, I'm curious, since you work with Mayor Adams, you're telling me that I can ask any question, right? He goes, oh yeah, if I can't answer it, I'll just tell you that I can't answer it. I'm like, okay, sounds good. The raid on Mayor Adams' home, was that legit? Or is that somebody attacking him because of the immigration issue? And he goes, absolutely, it's Joe Biden's administration coming after Mayor Adams because they don't like the way he's speaking about illegal immigration. And so it's a weaponization of the Biden administration against Mayor Adams. Now, that is directly from this guy's mouth, to which he did not tell me I wasn't allowed to say that. So
it's not like we didn't know that. I mean, well, so you have but now
I have an employee that works for him, right? And I've since looked this guy up, and he's got a photo of him and Mayor Adams on his Facebook page and stuff. Plus, I see where he is in law, and so he's legit. Like I followed up, but the best part is after that conversation, I said, "Well, gee, while we're going down this road, let's go into Letitia James too. I just exposed all of her financials with a guest with Chris just a few weeks ago," and he stops and he goes, "You can ask me anything, but I should stop you right there because she's actually a good friend and I was just texting her before the wedding."
Oh,
and I was like, no, you weren't. And he said, yes, I was just texting Letitia. And I'm like, oh, geez, I'm really putting it in. He's like, so what do you know about her financials? And I said, well, were you at any of those $500,000 steakhouses for dinner? And he puts his head down and kind of smiles. No. And he goes, I might have had some dinners.
Uh-huh. So he partook.
And I said to him, I said, now, isn't it kind of funny that when she's got like $70,000 coming in when she's trying to run, but then once she gets in, all of a sudden, tens of millions of dollars starts coming in to incentivize her to go after Donald Trump? And he just stayed absolutely quiet. I didn't get an answer on that one. But then he did say, as he stayed silent, he goes, well, I should also tell you, I've had lunch with Judge Engoron a few times.
Oh, God. Of course he did. Why wouldn't he?
At this point, I'm like, can I get the check? There is no check. I'm stuck here right now.
You should have asked about Merchan. That's who you should have asked about.
Well, so I did ask about why are they putting this fine against Trump when he's paid back the banks. The banks have had no problem with it. He paid interest on what he took. Yes, he made a fraudulent claim. Okay. Has he been tried criminally for this fraudulent claim? No, civilly. So why is this dollar amount not unfair? And his response was, and I can share this with you, his response, this is Letitia James's friend, apparently.
Yeah.
He says to me, he goes, well, Trump's not as good at protecting his assets.
What kind of answer is that?
Yeah. This all happened at your wedding, by the way. Jeez.
He's not as good at protecting his assets. That means nonsense. That means to me that Letitia James, and by default, the Biden administration and the executive branch, they went after Trump any way they possibly could. And that's it. That's all that says to me.
Right.
And the whole process of what Judge Engoron did, all of our leftist little friends were so upset that he did not have to post a $454 million bond and it got reduced to $175
million. He's still on the hook for $450 million if the appeal falls through. Like, why do people want that money out of his pocket so bad?
Exactly.
It's because they don't believe in the legal system and they believe in penalizing, which I think is irony of the left. The left just a few years ago, back in 2020, before, you know.
Well, hold on. Before we go down this Trump road.
No, I got to get to the summer of love real quick. I mean, can I get
bring
there
up all the time? Okay.
Yeah. The Summer of Love. Wasn't it the left that was saying, well, if you're a black man in America, the law, it just isn't fair.
Yeah. Right.
So all these judges now are apparently fair and unbiased on the opposite side.
Of course. Of course. That's the argument that we have all the time in our text chain.
I know.
It's these judges are completely biased and they hate black people and they hate Hispanic people and they have pay for prisons that need to be filled up. And then those companies donate to the judges during their campaigns. But when it comes to Trump, every single judge, honest as the day is long, and they are unbiased.
They are the best judges, ever.
Pillars of the community. Even though James O'Keefe, formerly from Project Veritas, went to Judge Engoron's gym.
I have a problem with that.
Videotaped him leering.
I have a problem with that. Come on. Like, I can't go with that. That's dangerous. Right? Like,
he's got four wives. The guy's a degenerate.
Engoron?
There's something wrong. Yes, he's on his fourth wife.
Oh, okay.
Going on here.
He doesn't have four current wives.
No,
this
he's
isn't
not
like,
a
you know,
bigamist. No,
he's not starting a TLC Learning Channel documentary all of a sudden.
And by the way, I suspect that Mr. Engoron, his political district, was formerly George Santos's district. The same guy who said he's kind of Jewish. Not Jewish, I'm Jewish, sort of.
What's that even mean? Like, I wake up today, like, all right, I'm supporting Israel. I'm feeling
Jewish,
you know,
slightly. Jew-ish. Just, so there's no way that Santos was going to remain in that district. And I've had experience in that district, and I can trust me, they wouldn't like somebody like that there.
Well, so I'm curious. Like, did you have to wash the linens from the wedding extra, knowing that you have Letitia James's best friend there?
Oh, I told him to burn everything. Yeah. Once it was all done.
Apparently they tried to earlier in the night when the fire alarm went off.
Actually, they didn't try to burn anything because they forgot the matches. They didn't light the candles during the ceremony. Right. And they didn't have anybody where we were having the ceremony, the event holders. They didn't have anybody there. So we had to shoot up a flare in the middle of a GD tent to get somebody's attention.
I was ready to go to the back.
Oh yeah. My God.
God, I completely forgot to do that as a segment for tonight. Damn it. I was going to actually have the beeping of a truck moving backwards to start off the show. And I completely forgot. I thought about that 2 hours ago when I was show prepping and damn it, I forgot to load the damn sound.
That was disastrous. I don't know how anybody didn't hear that.
It was actually one of those moments that I really enjoyed because you gotta go with the punches. That's what marriage is, right? Marriage is going to bring you ups, it's gonna bring you downs, it's gonna bring you the good times, it's gonna bring you the bad times. And I absolutely love the fact that truck starts backing up during the wedding.
Oh my God.
And it's just insistent. Then when it stops, everybody's like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
Ten seconds later, beep. Beep. I thought they were just going to pull in the back and
a band was
going to pop out.
Marriott was going to barge in and start disassembling everything right there.
So your Uncle Jerry tried to do that beforehand. I don't know if he's your uncle or not.
Yeah. Yes. Wait. What did he try to do?
So I'm sitting there before the wedding begins, and you guys had these beautiful floating candles in water.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I just hear... And I look down at my feet, and one of the candles has completely shattered, and my foot is wet.
Oh.
Uncle Jerry walked in the one, and that was it. Yes.
I had no idea. I had no idea he did that. But that's all part of live entertainment. No rehearsal. Just go right into it, which is how I do my podcasts, of course. I'll tell you this much. So we had that Delmonico steak with the onions and the butter on top and all that. I still think that the New York strip, the little bits, were so flavorful. It had that nice crust.
Yes.
And it was just out of this world. And here's something else. The fish, not so good. Dried, didn't really have a lot of flavor in my opinion. You would never suspect that you should go to a steakhouse and order chicken. This chicken was out of this world. I never had chicken that tasted like this.
So I was going to get the chicken, but I was like, I'm coming. You spent months telling me about the steak.
Yeah.
So if I get chicken after you spent months, I just picture you walking up to me and being like, What's up, dweeb? I mean, you sent me a text message because I picked the wrong meatball off the table.
You did. And did you get the right one?
You know what? Those meatballs were delicious. And no, I did not, but they were still phenomenal. Oh, I did not get the dry meatball.
You had to. You had to. I forced my friend to get it. He's like, oh, no, I didn't get it. I came out there and I got it for him. And I said, put on the gnocchi, the white sauce.
The gnocchi, yeah.
Oh, man. With that dry meatball, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to go there, if they're ever on Long Island, go to Teller's in Islip. And don't order the steak, order the chicken, and you'll be fine. Or the New York Strip.
Can I tell you about this Uber that I had to your wedding?
Oh, no. What?
Dude, so the Uber picks us up from the wedding, and I go to get in, and the woman goes, oh, no, not these doors. Go to the other side. Now it's pouring down rain, right? So we go to the other side of the vehicle, and my wife's like, oh, I'll get in first. I'm like, no, I'll slide in. She's like, no, I got it. So she slides across, and then I sit down and close the door, and she got T-boned on that side.
Oh, no.
We're about 30 seconds into the ride, and water starts pouring on top of my wife.
Oh, my God.
The water's coming in the side of the door, and I'm sitting there going, you got to be kidding me. Why is this woman still? So I said, how long ago was your accident? And she goes, oh, it was a couple months ago. I had to have surgery because of it. And I'm thinking, you were still Ubering. And she goes, yeah, I just picked up this couple a few minutes ago, and they were not happy. You know, sorry about the water coming in back there. I'm like, yeah, people are dressed up going to the wedding.
Of course. Why would anybody be happy that the Uber has a leak on a rainy night, on basically a monsoon? That night was so wretchedly drenching and cold and windy. Holy smokes. I can't believe that happened.
That was all the angels crying tears of joy for your wedding.
Okay. Gotcha.
Trust me, I have a lot of those sayings from back when I used to do photography for weddings. Whenever it rained, I was like, don't worry, I'm going to get you the most beautiful photos because of this rain. And I would. I'd use flashes to freeze the rain and do beautiful things. But you guys have phenomenal photos as well. I saw the posting on Instagram.
They're not even completely done yet.
No, but the ones that I've seen, they're phenomenal. We
have people purloining our photos.
Really?
Other accounts are taking our photos, and they don't even have our permission. So how about that? So I think we have our photos have the most views for Tellers and the most views for the photographer. It's news to us. Never thought that would happen.
Hey, I got to tell you, one of our listeners wrote on Instagram.
Stop that, talking about this stuff.
No, since your wedding, your voice sounds deeper. Congratulations.
That's funny. I always heard that when you get married, you lose your balls. But I guess they dropped a little bit and I got a deeper voice. That's fine. Yeah. We went to Mexico.
Yes.
And here's a little interesting story. So we started off at one resort. We went to an Iberostar, which is a hotel chain, a resort chain based out of Spain. And we had this stunning room, gorgeous room. But it was at the very tip of the Yucatan Peninsula.
It's always and the tip.
Don't nip the tip. And it was completely gray. The wind was so much that the palm trees were basically horizontal. I mean, all the palms were just bent over. There was so much wind, so much gray. So we decided to go to another Iberostar about 20 minutes south, 30 minutes south. Completely different. Blue skies, no wind, gorgeous weather. It was stunning. It was absolutely amazing. So this one resort that we went to has actually five resorts within it. So if you can picture that, five different kind of hotels in it. But we chose the one closest to the shore, to the beach. I walk in, and it's basically low-level dedicated to Lucifer. All of this imagery. You walk into the lobby. There's a gorgeous garden, stunning plants everywhere. It's just gorgeous, right? There's a water pond, as if there's any other type of pond, and it has 8 points to it. So those are two squares overlaid one another to get an 8-pointed star, and that basically means, if I'm correct, it's controlling order and chaos. So you control order and chaos, and each square represents one or the other. In the middle of that is a black cube. So you all know, if you do any sort of research, about what the significance of a black cube is. You've got the really Orthodox Jewish people that put it on their forehead, over their third eye. It's in Mecca, right? You've got the whole mm-hmm. thing when you go to Mecca. It's also symbolic of Saturn and all the rest. And then above that black cube fountain is basically a dedication to the light bringer in a Greco-Roman style. It's a very Greco-Roman looking person. He's got two torches. One is pointing down, one is pointing up, just like Baphomet, that famous picture. And one light is going towards earth, the other light is going towards the heavens. So it's that amalgamation of having this chain, this divinity, this type of person, this being. Exactly. We'll get to that too. Connecting the divine, connecting the heavens, and also connecting earth. And then this photo that you brought up is actually in front of the dining area that overlooks the rest of the resort that goes all the way to the beach. They've got an enormous pool that goes all the way down. And right in front of this statue is a little patio area where they put on all of their shows. So this image, this statue, overlooks every single performance that this hotel gives. What is the statue for those people that aren't that don't have the ability to see it? Well, it is a semi-androgynous being. It's robed basically from the loins down. It's got a very feminine abdomen, but it has a semi-masculine torso. It almost looks like it has pecs. It is missing the center part. Basically, from the navel up to the heart area, there's a large hole. And it has one arm, it has both arms up, and one hand is actually in the sign of the devil. So it has two of the middle fingers down while it's got the pinky and the pointer finger up. You can't see it from this angle, but it's there.
Right.
The head of it is an angled horn. It doesn't have any facial features. It's just very angular, geometric. And it's got two wings on the back. I mean, if that doesn't say the light bringer and Lucifer, I don't know what does.
So let me show this other photo. I actually just airdropped everything over so I could present them so you could describe this. So the first one you're talking about is the cube that was being in the center here.
Yeah.
There it is.
So there you go. So in that pond actually is a pond made up of 8 points. And then you've got that
yeah, I can see that now
in the middle.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep, 8. Yep.
So right there, I'm going, oh, come on, really?
Now, this other artwork, was that directly above this
yes.
that I'm about to show? All right, yeah. Let me pull that up.
It was
up
directly
for
above it. And it all was right. Greco-Roman style. And it was basically meant to say that, well, Lucifer is the one that conjoins the heavens and earth. And you could see him dead center right above where the black cube would be in the middle of the pond. So if you zoom in on that, you will see the light bringer bringing torches, both heavenly and yeah. See, like, come on.
Yep.
And he's surrounded by stars and all the rest, giving enlightenment.
What hotel was this?
The Iberostar, the Grand Paradiso, I think. And then over to
is that the medical?
Right. That's the Caduceus. That's supposed to be Hermes.
Yep.
Right. Which is representative of one, the phallus, but also you have the snakes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there it's also representative of Kundalini, sex magic and all that. Here, I don't remember who this person was supposed to be. She's being pulled by two, was that oxen or?
It's an oxen and a chariot. And then it looks like they have a Icarus type of bow. As well, which is interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I'll have to do some research into that. The bottom, behold a pale horse.
Yep. Yep. And also look at her. Her torch is touching the light bringer's torch.
Correct.
So you've got that too.
At the top, you have Revelations, right? Yeah. So you got two cherubim with an angel. In the two dark horses, steeds. Interesting.
That doesn't even look like a chariot, you know?
No, it doesn't. Matter of fact, it almost looks more almost like a shield that's been turned around as if to protect us from it.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Interesting. So this is an interesting honeymoon, an interesting wedding we have there, Michaels. I can't wait to do it again. When are we celebrating your wedding again?
Well, we'll come down to you.
Okay, that
sounds good. And then what we'll do is we'll crash what's his face? We'll try to find John Warner where he hangs out. And we'll crash his place.
Hey, that sounds like a blast. Maybe I can get a best friend of Joe Biden at.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, being in Delaware, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, so maybe you can ask Ashley Biden about her diary that was supposed to be fake the whole time. It turned out to not be fake because the DOJ is going after the person that found the diary and wants them in prison.
Found the diary or stole the diary?
It doesn't matter. She uncovered a pedophile. I mean, I'm sorry. She uncovered somebody that potentially engaged in very, very lewd acts with somebody that could have been underage. I think that sums it up.
Yeah, I guess here's the thing. I'll take the serious side on this because we've been having fun all the time.
Yeah, we've got to get serious now.
We got to get serious.
We've got to actually get content.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's people watching. We got plenty of people watching right now. So that's, people are enjoying us being fun. I just will say, I think I've told you this before. I know that Ashley allegedly has had her own issues, both in relationships with some other things, maybe similar to the Hunter at times. And the fact that she was keeping this diary journal, from what I had read, it might have been... according to a psychologist that she might have been speaking with to keep this to help her therapeutically. And that is the horrendous part about what happened here. If somebody did take it from this rental and then steal it and refuse to give it back and then sell it and try to offer it, which James O'Keefe eventually purchased it for, that's somebody's. I mean, granted, I get what you're saying about what it unveils, but that's still somebody's private stuff that's being put out there. And so I have no problem if they tried contacting this woman to say, hey, we need it back, and she didn't give it back, punish her according to the law, because that is the most intimate stuff. And yeah, I mean, do you feel better about knowing that her dad may have made her uncomfortable in the shower? I don't feel better about knowing that. But to me, I can't celebrate this diary whatsoever, because it's just like the laptop, right? At the end of the day, these are two flawed individuals that have been exposed. Until that exposure leads to something that's criminal, the common sense side is protect the individual.
Okay, so what criminal act did this person commit by revealing this diary?
So apparently, allegedly, according to this court case, she was at a rental. It got left behind. She realized it got left behind. Her people contacted the rental for it. They claimed they did not have it. And so they said, well, if it shows up, can you please get it back? You know, it's my client's. And eventually they went to sell it. So the criminal act is they have private property of somebody who's tried to retrieve their private property. And they went and sold it knowing that it was not theirs.
See, I didn't know that. I didn't know they tried to sell it.
Oh, they did sell it.
I thought it was just out there.
So that is the reason why James O'Keefe had the FBI raid at his home. It was over the Ashley Biden diary.
Right.
So they raided him because they wanted to know what else he may have paid for as far as information. So they thought it was a criminal case at that point in time. So,
I kind of get that. I thought she was just doing her, you know, American duty by putting it out there and letting everybody see what happened.
It's a little bit more nefarious than that. So.
Yeah, it seems like it.
All right. Let's talk Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He went on the CNN, and this, I'm going to play part of this from Aaron Burnett. I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to watch any of this at this point in time. I actually got advertisements popping up on the YouTube clip, which, by the way, I think, Michaels, I'm live on YouTube for the first time in 2 weeks. I have two strikes against me. One more strike and I'm banned for life. But
are you serious?
Oh, yeah, I'm dead serious. The Peter McCullough episode got me kicked off faster than you can say Peter McCullough. so, yeah, that was pretty wild. But, yeah, so I'm going to play part of this RFK Jr. interview. Aaron Burnett is asking him, who is the bigger threat to democracy, Donald Trump or Joe Biden? And RFK Jr. says, Joe Biden. And I was blown away. So here it is. Let me play this for you. Have you heard this entire clip?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
This will be good.
A moment ago, you said you essentially see Trump and Biden as the same, different issues. But do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is an equal evil to Biden?
I mean, listen, I can make the argument President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court. It shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, for the first president in history, to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies. Those are really critical threats
to democracy.
Donald
Trump, of course, tried to overturn a free and fair election. He tried to overturn one, right? He's still fighting in court.
Yes.
How is that not a threat to democracy?
Well, I think that is a threat to democracy. If trying to overthrow the election clearly is a threat to democracy. But the question was, who is a worse threat to democracy? And what I would say is, I'm not going to answer that question, but I can argue that President Biden is, because the First Amendment, Aaron, is the most important. Adams and Hamilton and Madison said, we put the guarantee of freedom of expression in the First Amendment because all of our other constitutional rights depend on it. If you have a government that can silence its opponent, it has license for any atrocity.
So just to be clear, you're saying you could make an argument that President Biden is a worse threat to democracy than
absolutely.
Donald Trump. That's what you just said.
But who else has ever tried to censor, what president in history has ever tried to censor political opponents? What president has weaponized the federal
agency? That is not the soundbite they wanted.
No, of course not. Because he's saying that the Democrats did the same effing thing.
Correct.
For the prior 16 years, 20 years, they've always argued that if they lost an election, it was stolen and we're going to take it to court. And they do that. They've always done it. So now he's saying that. And on top of that, did you notice how RFK cowers throughout all of this? Well, of course, Donald Trump did try to overthrow the election. What kind of stupid rhetoric is that even?
Well, he's got to run for president, right? So he's got to beat both of them. But this is, I've been saying for months that the person who gets hurt in this election the most is Donald Trump. Not if RFK Jr. is speaking the way he's speaking. He is going to take votes away from Joe Biden. He is going to take enough votes from Donald Trump. We may see a contested election
right
here in November. And I don't think this country is ready for that.
Right. No, I agree with you. And that's been the whole campaign strategy for him since the beginning. I mean, there was a couple of articles that came out where his whole strategy is to make sure that neither candidate gets all of the electoral
right
votes. So what happens then? Well, who determines the president? Well, it's Congress. And do you think Congress would vote somebody like Trump in? Do you think they'd vote somebody like RFK in? Sounds like a Democrat op to me. Under the guise of somebody that's being truly independent. I mean, look at his VP. I did a show on him, on her. A money-grubbing, money-stealing, carpet-bagging, just, I was going to say something.
Allegedly.
Awful. Allegedly. but you can go to opensecrets.org,
yes,
and look at all of the ways she's donated to not only Democrats, but RFK, and also Democrat policies. One of her woke policies is the same that that caused all of the crimes on the streets. She was behind, or she funded, I think, to the tune of like $96,000 or something like that, to one of these policies in California where, oh, we have got to reduce the cops and put more the counselors on the streets so that when a robbery is occurring, they can talk to them and take them down from the ledge.
Are you sure you want to take that jewelry from the jewelry store, sir?
God.
Are you sure we can't talk through some therapy right now?
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me how you feel.
And by the way, I'd like to know where all of those counselors are. That seemed like a huge money grift, and that money went down a black hole, never to be seen again.
They're in Mexico.
Yeah.
On the beach that you're at.
No, they're at steakhouses.
Hey, so you saw why her ex-husband filed for divorce, correct?
The first one.
Sergi.
I saw the first one. The first one, I from what I read, filed for divorce due to fraud. And then she went right over to Sergi.
And then Sergi filed for divorce for infidelity.
Oh, because of who? Could it be an EV entrepreneur?
Yes, Elon Musk. Allegedly, she slept with Elon, who was their friend, and he cited irreconcilable differences after she cheated on him and filed for a divorce. And Elon and her have both denied this, but I've pointed out on my solo episodes, people should pay attention. RFK Jr. launched his campaign on the X format with Elon Musk. And so what type of money's coming into RFK Jr. off to the side from Elon, who said, I don't know if I'm going to put money behind a candidate. I don't think I'm going to put any money. Well, maybe you're not putting money behind it, but you're certainly giving resources to these campaigns at this point in time.
Yeah. Yes. I still think that RFK he says the right things. He's still not doing the right things. I mean, when you've got your CIA daughter-in-law as your campaign manager, and then you get the ex-wife of woke Google executive also donating, I don't know, countless dollars to various Democrat initiatives, that's not going to be that much of a difference. He's saying all the things to get the votes away from Trump, to get the votes away from Biden, to do what I said, to make sure that nobody gets enough of the electoral votes. And then Congress, the elites, backed by big industry and big-time donors like George Soros and Alex Soros, they get to choose the presidency.
Right.
That's crazy to me. And it goes into lawfare. I mean, have you been watching this drama with Laura Loomer and Judge Merchan? What's going on with that?
Fill me in. Because I've seen two different sides of this. I've seen the side that's saying that Laura Loomer is lying to people that this account does not actually belong to Merchan's daughter. That this is an account that got started on X later, and it's not one of the ones that she owned. And so therefore, Laura is posting bad information. But tell me what I'm missing. Maybe that's wrong.
It could be, but I don't... So I'll start with how it could not be correct. The accusations against Laura Loomer could be incorrect.
Okay.
Laura Loomer posted a photograph of Judge Merchan's daughter giving a presentation in a PowerPoint, and she uses that exact X handle in the PowerPoint in front of people. So that implies that she is, in fact, the person that she says she's not. And that also implies that the account that supposedly isn't hers, it's for some reason, had a picture of Trump behind bars, was tied to all sorts of radical stuff. So to sum up what happened, you have Judge Merchan. He's overseeing the Stormy Daniels hush money case. Supposed NXIVM cult member, Stormy Daniels. Go ahead.
So just to correct, are you talking about this Lauren M426 account that right. has the Trump? So just some background. I have become a contributor on the X format
expert.
On community notes.
Yes.
So I get to see stuff no one else can see.
Ooh.
And I will share my screen right now and present what I see. Maybe this is, I'm not allowed to do this. I'm not sure. But
I don't know if you are.
But I will show you anyway. So. All right. So I don't know if I can zoom in by creating this. Does that make it larger for you?
Not really.
Okay. Well, anyway, here's her post about the Lauren M426. All these sleuths have pointed out that this account was made April 2023. And so they're saying that the ex account being attributed to Judge Merchant's daughter no longer belongs to her since she deleted approximately a year ago per OCA spokesperson. And the account that rose up is from March 2024. And so people think that, and here it is, stories debunked again. There has been plenty of notes right added to this with a web archive as well to basically say, Laura Loomer, you're full of crap.
See, us plebs, we're not privy to such knowledge as you, as one of the vaunted gatekeepers.
You know, I do what I can truth. Do what I can do.
All right. So, I mean, there goes that segment. We're done. Next. No.
Well,
so,
I mean, well, Laura Loomer, like, is she working for Trump at this point? She's saying that she's not, but I got to be honest. When you're taking photos with Carrie Lake, you're spending time at the compound, you're kind of working for Donald Trump.
Oh, she is no more working for Trump than the Krasensteins and Harry Sisson are working for the Democrats.
Okay, so she is.
Of
okay,
course.
Good.
They are, and so is she. I mean, it may not be Trump directly, but she may be funded by a PAC. She may be funded by donors. She may be funded by family members. You know how this works. Just as long as we launder the money and we get a few degrees of separation, then everything's fine. Like the Krasensteins, or one of them. I can't remember which one.
I'll tell you, I've defended Brian and Ed for a long time. I can no longer defend either of them. And the absolute idiocy and lack of reasoning and logic in their post.
It is spineless.
It is.
It's spineless.
their post the other day, yesterday, about Lauren Boebert, who was undergoing kind of emergency surgery, life-threatening surgery, and seeing either, it was Brian or Ed, I'm not sure which one, you can't tell them apart. Their voices are both exactly identical. The same, too. They really are. But one of them was like, oh, well, this is what allegedly might have happened. Our prayers are with you.
Oh, I'm stop.
Like, oh, stop. You are just creating content off this because you know people are going to listen to see if you were kind or not kind in her moment of need. And you're just calculated. And so I find them very cold and calculating at this point in time. And it also shows me how cold and calculated people have become to not really caring about information. It's like Nick Sorter, after the earthquake the other night, started immediately posting, well, there's warships around Taiwan and there are fighter jets. Yeah, no shit, Nick Sorter. They've been there the entire time. They've had the island surrounded for 3 years. Where have you been? I thought you were a journalist. I mean, this bait-click BS that's going on from the Krasensteins, Nick Sorter, and all these people, Mario Narfall, it's infuriating for me to watch this time and time again and see people just getting duped. I don't know. I guess,
it's true.
You know,
and
point,
the problem
just let
is,
people be duped.
No, the problem is that there are plenty of people to be duped.
Yep.
I mean, even on both sides of it. On both sides, because you still get the people on the conservative side, on the Trump side, that they, I post some things here and there. You know, I go viral in the comments. I get people that comment on my comments. Otherwise, nobody knows I exist.
I heard you're pretty viral in the comments.
Oh, I am. I certainly am.
I heard that about you.
And
I don't even know what that means.
Some of the only way I get any sort of
I know,
visibility is if I comment on somebody else's thing. So. These people, they parrot the essentially the mainstream story. And they're supposed to, they have the stereotype, these conservative MAGA types, that they're a little bit smarter than the rest of the voting class. And they're a little bit, they're not. Totally not. They don't see it either. That's all this is. And I would like to know how these Krasensteins and all of these other people get this kind of visibility. Who are they paying? Do they have access to X's bot farm that spreads around their posts? I don't know. That's what I suspect. And how much money does that cost? You know what I mean?
Well, I think when you look at like the X platform at this point in time, you see an account has 1 million followers, but yet only 3,600 people listening to the to their, you know, space that they have going on. I've actually been wondering, our space is pretty much dead. I mean, what we're doing right now on StreamYard, kind of doing the live show with America Out Loud, reposting the next day, you know, our reach is much larger through America Out Loud. The stream, I mean, you know, if we get, I think I had like 450 people on a post just a few weeks ago. But, you know, I'm wondering, are spaces still the future or are they falling apart? Do people like the content like this where they can see us and actually know we're real human beings with voices instead of people paying, playing some type of avatar where they can't read whether or not they're a genuine individual on the other side?
Let's be honest about spaces. They're basically just conference calls. They're not shows. Everybody joins them. I was never seriously impressed with them. I mean, I thought it was a nice idea to have very famous people people that go viral or that have some kind of insight get exposure. But overall, is it really a new form of media? No, I don't think so. I mean, you can get more interaction with a Zoom call than you could with spaces. And overall, you know, you hear all of the stories about people that are trying to talk about something very serious. All of a sudden, the space doesn't work. They can't even start it up. It blanks out. So somebody somewhere is monitoring it. I suspect an AI. Right. I don't think that it is the future at all.
Well, let's get some break stuff that's coming up. The CIA is now warning that Iran will attack Israel within the next 48 hours. This is over the killing of the top general in Iran, which they went just about 72 hours ago. He died. This could be very, very bad. I talked about this on the show the other day that, you know, there's lots of doom and gloom to headlines and stuff. I think there's people that want World War III. There's people that want to usher in the next holy war, so to speak. But this attack that Israel did against the top general that was not located in Iran, and then the additional bombings that killed the British chef reviewer and the 40 people in Aleppo that died as well, and then Netanyahu's response that was basically like, oopsies, sorry about that. We may be looking at an event at this point in time where World War III, we're at the cusp of it. Because in this attack of Iran, the story that I read the other day stated that Iran also said that they reserve the right to attack the UK as part of this retaliation. The NATO alliance, should they attack the UK, will mean immediately all of NATO is involved in a war in the Middle East defending the UK. So 48 hours, ladies and gentlemen, we're on the clock. Last thing I think happened on a Saturday, so I'm guessing we should know something by Saturday morning. And then since they're ahead of us, this could be any minute. This is bad news.
Well, I'll tell you this. I saw a couple of images. Iran has, in fact, cleared its airspace. So when I see this, something is going to be flying through it. And they don't want any kind of civilians to be in the way. So there is that. But did you see this story about lavender? Mm-mm. Okay, so this came out. I tried to find the link. It's the website is Mag something, Mag 99, Mag and two numbers or whatever. I have it somewhere. Basically, there's an AI program called Lavender, and there's another congruent program. What this does is it delegates the targeting authority to artificial intelligence, and that's what Israel is doing. And this artificial intelligence was targeting males, and depending upon what kind of male it is, if they were able to identify this male, also allowed the AI to say, oh, if we have X amount of civilian casualties, that is okay. So if you're talking about somebody like within the Hamas leadership, they allowed up to 100 civilian casualties for a strike with lavender. No, that's not it. You got it up there. Okay. No, that's not it. And then if they were talking about just basic fighters, they allowed up to 25 civilian casualties with each strike. So you're talking about one in 25 people actually being the target. So does Israel want something like that? I wouldn't be surprised, because then that gives them the prerogative to go after, Hezbollah and Hamas. And it also allows all of the war hawks in NATO and the United States to go unleashed and go after Iran itself. I don't think Iran is going to be the pushover that Iraq was 25 years ago. I'm sorry to say. I really am.
Just so you know, that was the right site. This is the article that I think referencing. That was the email service. That's an AI service. It's marked 37,000 Palestinians as suspected Hamas operatives by going through that email process. So I was showing the company on the other end, but this is the part. So it's a Build a Lavender system. What they do is they take the information on known Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad operatives. They put that into the data set, go through those emails in order to get how many individuals might be tied to it. That is wild.
Right. Wow. Right. And there was a little phrase in the article that I read that I'm going to desperately try to find that really shook me to the core. And it had to do with, oh, really interesting. That article just totally vanished.
Was it about the surveillance state?
No.
Okay.
It was about basically saying that the AI's decision should, essentially the order to strike, should be assumed that it is a human command.
Yep.
So imagine the implications of that in something like, law.
No, look at this.
You got it. Okay, good.
Yeah. At times, however, officers would bomb homes without verifying the targets that were inside, wiping out scores of civilians in the process. It happened to me many times we attacked a house, but the person wasn't even home, one source told him. The result is that you killed a family for no reason. But hey, you know what? AI thought it was doing the right thing. Wow.
Right. And so now imagine that kind of mindset, that kind of delegation in things like, surgeries, you're a hospital, a doctor, law, a lawyer, a judge being AI, and a state saying, well, whatever the AI says is assumed to be coming from a human, a natural born human. And we all saw how woke things like Google's Gemini, where it was creating the multicultural founding fathers was. And we also saw how horribly woke ChatGPT was. I mean, you had the village people signing the Declaration of the Independence. It's crazy. Nuts. And could you imagine a judge with that kind of programming? Because that's what it is, programming. Right.
Well, not just can you imagine that. I think it's already being used. I'm personally of the thought process that AI is already being used and weaponized against people in a way that you haven't even wrapped your head around. I had a guest on maybe a month and a half ago, used to work in banking, and he told me about how social credit scores were not something that the United States was just adopting, that it was something that he had worked on 20 years ago in the banking industry, and that at this point in time with artificial intelligence, that the social credit systems are already running themselves at the banks. And he mentioned the name of the program, and off the top of my head, I can't remember what he said, but I can go back to that episode and check it out and be able to find it. It was a conversation with Chip Christie. So I'll have to find that one. But yeah, he was basically saying AI at this point in time will be deciding whether or not it believes you're going to use too much gas and too much carbon emissions in the future.
Exactly.
Not whether you have. So what was that? The Minority Report used to predict crimes before it happened. It's already being used, just in a different way.
Yeah. And don't think that it's going to stop if Trump gets elected, because they'll wait it out four years. The timetable will be offset, and they'll continue to do it, right? So it won't be Agenda 2030. It'll be Agenda 2035.
Well, speaking of the timetable and stuff, we gotta hit the eclipse coming up.
Oh.
There's a lot of information that's out there right now. Scaring people.
Bizarre.
Like, I don't understand why people are declaring national emergencies. I don't understand why people are making this like it's a Y2K all of a sudden, where something could go wrong. It's literally just the sun blocking a percentage, the moon blocking a percentage of the sun as it passes by, which happens once every so many years, different parts of the region. The Earth doesn't end. Why are so many people fearful of a natural occurrence?
Don't know, but I think it's as old as the as the human race itself, because solar eclipses usually represent a new beginning, so a birth, a death, and a rebirth. Right, the sun doesn't actually die; God's sun can't die because it just rises again. And this is a smaller version of that. And it also symbolically, it's the moon. So the feminine, the water type of energy, overcoming the sun, overcoming the lion, right? So it's the female overcoming the male. So in traditions, you know, the male is supposed to be the head of the house and all this. But in this brief moment, you've got the female being the head. So you got all that stuff going on. But then why is NASA launching 3 rockets? At that moment, why is CERN being flipped on?
So I have a theory behind all of that. And when we had Ben Davidson onto the show, he talked a lot about the ionosphere and the weakening of the Earth's magnetic field.
Right.
We know that the sun right now has been very active. Our magnetic field has been weakened. I believe they want to put these rockets. Well, I know that's why they're doing it. They're studying the Earth's magnetic field. How does an eclipse affect the magnetic field? How does the blocking of solar wind to the planet, what type of data can they get there? Now, here's where it gets pretty wild. When you think about CERN and the article that came out March 24th, talk about how there was a ghost in the machine where they found a fourth dimension, that time was bending the three-dimensional world of protons. Then you start to wonder, is CERN actually weakening our magnetic field, or is CERN going to be studying how do particles behave differently when solar wind and a weakened magnetic field happen all at one time? And can they do something special with this ghost of bending time, this fourth dimension, that they haven't done before? So all these people that are like, oh, CERN, you know, it's a conspiracy theory. They've admitted to you 2 weeks ago, the lab itself, they're bending time in particles and changing the way it behaves. If they can get this powerful enough, it is a time machine. That's literally what they told you. The ghost is time travel. I don't know why no one's paying attention to the fact that CERN is doing this research and people are just giving them a free pass.
That is insane. And that would explain the Mandela effect.
Yes, I talked about that on Wednesday on my show yesterday.
And I sent you that one little post where a lot of Tom Hanks movies are kind of tied to this through a relative of his. Mm-hmm. You know, so what are the odds of that? But I completely agree with you with all this. And I also suspect it could be something else. I think it's with CERN, I question whether or not they're trying to weaken the Van Allen belts, because you had that NASA guy come out a few years ago saying that, well, we lost the technology to get through the Van Allen belts. Well, the Van Allen belts are between Earth and the moon. So that means you've never gone to the moon. Or if you did, you went there in a way that you're not telling us, but which I lean towards that camp. Not that we didn't land on the moon. So if you're talking about weakening the Van Allen belts to get through the atmosphere, to get off planet, and to progress to Mars through chemical rocketry, then I could see something like that being a valid argument. Because I refuse to believe that interstellar travel is going to be done through chemical rockets. It's just too inefficient,
right?
Too much fuel, you know, there's too much going wrong here. But did you hear about all of these states and what they're doing, like declaring national emergencies and how they're supposedly being prepared for the eclipse?
Yeah,
did you see about what the New York State Police is, what they intend to do, or the warning they put out?
What's going on in your state?
Oh, plan on staying in the region for the night. Now, the whole argument here is that they're saying there's going to be so many people on the roads and in the areas that the congestion is just going to be off the charts. You're going to have people flying in from all over the world and all over the country to witness this event. Okay. Then they go on and say, if you can't stay, make sure that you fuel up and charge your cars. Have extra food and water in your car up to 2 to 3 days. Have cell phones charged. Schools are recommended to take a half of a day. Businesses are, you shouldn't be afraid to make sure that you allow your employees to take half days. If you have an electric vehicle, you should make sure that it has at least 10 hours worth of charge. This sounds to me like they're preparing for a grid collapse. It doesn't sound like it's going to be for an eclipse.
Yeah, and well, a grid collapse, if there is something with a magnetic field and solar winds and they do something with these rockets, could it have an effect on the electric grid? That's a valid concern, but that would have to be man-made. That's not something that's going to happen simply because there's an eclipse.
Right, right. And what did we see? Did we see something like that in the Barack Obama-produced movie that came out?
Well, there's a lot of things we're seeing from that movie. We're seeing boats crashing into stuff now. Mm-hmm. Loss of power and almost like a cyber attack without a cyber attack.
Right. So yeah. If we're playing devil's advocate here with this event, grid failure purposefully done behind closed doors, either through a cyber attack or some other means, blame it on the eclipse, then we have to rework the grid, make it a smart grid, and then lo and behold, we are now back on track with 15-minute cities and carbon credits and so on and so forth. And being that all of these states declared state emergencies, that enables them to get federal funding, much like COVID. So this whole thing is just rife with grift.
Speaking of COVID, are you paying attention to the chickens that just got killed?
I am.
Now, this bird flu, the avian flu that caused them to, call out 2 million chickens?
Right.
Is that how many they killed?
Something like that. And, it went to cows and it went to people.
It went to people, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
What's the odds that this isn't going to be the next big thing for the election cycle for a talking point and vaccinations?
You know it. You absolutely know it, especially since the Daily Mail back in February reported that the United States spent $1 million on trying to create a bird flu virus that was far more contagious than any other bird flu. Mm-hmm. I mean, 2 months later, here we are. I mean, what are the odds? I mean, this might as well be event 201 again.
Well, the CDC has already put out a report on April 3rd. Here it is. Have it up on the screen. There's been 2 cases with people in the United States. And so we can click on that and let's see what they have here. On April Fool's Day, of course, a person in the United States has tested positively for a highly pathogenic avian influenza, as reported by Texas, confirmed by the CDC. This person had exposure to dairy cattle in Texas, presumed to be infected with the H5N1 virus. They had eye redness, as their only symptom, and they're recovering. Let's shut down the country. Let's scare everybody. The second person is from Colorado. Human infection with influenza A virus. CDC has been monitoring illnesses. That goes back to 2022. That's not even current.
Right. And they are CDC. Promoting that.
Yeah. That's BS.
So we had.
Here it is. Candidate vaccine viruses. They're already planning. How can they vaccinate people? It's right there.
Good.
Yep.
So we had on a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Mackus, and he had this enormous post about what's really going on here. And it is really stunning. And most of what you're seeing throughout all of this is more propaganda, more playing with numbers. He brings up that this is a soft launch of a new pandemic. And he noticed a three-pronged attack. H5N1 spreading to humans from other mammals, attack on dairy cattle, which is true, right? We see all of this stuff about how they want to stop us from eating meat. They want us to eat soy and plants and bugs. An attack on cats, because we all know that the World Economic Forum types, they don't want us to have any pets to reduce our carbon footprints. The CDC is reporting a 56% case fatality rate. And then he goes into all of the details about how that's not true. The people are recovering from these supposed, flu shots, but these outbreaks. So it's, you're right. We're starting to see more nonsense. It's going to be human to human. You're going to need another mRNA shot. They're going to go throughout and really try to pump up this rhetoric ahead. Now, did you see this story? About NATO's Article 5 that's sort of taking legs here.
No, what's that?
So supposedly, coordinated with Nancy Pelosi, NATO's Article 5 was put into place during COVID. And the only other time that was put into place was during September 11th. What's Article 5? If one member is attacked, all are attacked. All the, and every other nation has to generate its own response that they feel is necessary. So that doesn't mean that if one NATO country is attacked, all NATO countries attack. It just means that they have to do something. They could be sending 10 comedians over there to entertain other troops. But it raises the specter of that whole COVID response was actually a militaristic response. It was a fascistic response, especially since you have all of the rhetoric surrounding the COVID outbreak. We're at war with the virus. We're going to overcome the virus. Trump bringing out all of the generals, right? Essentially being under martial law with 6-foot distance and mandates, and you're not allowed to leave your home. You have to stay home for 2 weeks. Now, the other portion of this, if it is true that NATO, this Article 5 was in fact enacted, then we start to go down the road of it really was a bioweapon.
I've been saying
and
that
who
forever.
Did it?
I've been saying that forever.
Exactly. Exactly. Could it be China? Could it be the United States? Could it be the transnational organization that we always bring up? You know, they that are always in the background that have no national boundary. They have no national home, but they've got trillions of assets. I mean, who
Very
knows?
Very capable.
And
very capable.
Did it ever stop? Did it ever stop? Did they enact it? And it still goes on. Because if that's the case, that would explain what's going on with the Ukraine.
Well, it sounds like it might be time to move to Hawaii. Do you know why I say it's time to move to Hawaii?
Blue roofs.
Hawaii, well, that too. Hawaii is the only state not covered by Article 5 in NATO.
Why is that?
Because of the way Hawaii was set up. Doing the whole Lahaina research, I actually discovered that they still have a different type of law that they practice there because of the individuals that live on the island have ownership rights of the land. And that was the whole Lahaina fire, like the people that were indigenous versus the United States, that Hawaii has never truly embraced as an island or a series of islands. The 50th state title, or 49th state, I'm not sure if they were first or Alaska off the top of my head right now, but point being is they are exempt at this point in time from Article 5. They're not a participant. So if somebody attacks Hawaii, NATO would not get involved as of right now. Let me, I'm looking this up right now because this is something I learned a while ago. Yep, here we go. I have a story on it right here. I'll put it up on the screen for viewers to see. This U.S. state is not covered by NATO treaty. Some experts say that needs to change. Sweden became the newest member of NATO earlier this month, joining 31 nations. Well, make that 49 of the 50, because in quirk of geography and history, Hawaii is technically not covered. Yeah, so it has something to do with like the people that live there and what the residents...
If you read NATO Article 5...
Right.
It specifically mentions member states and also, you know, their territories that are north of the Tropic of Cancer. Hawaii is a little south of that. So that's probably the reason why they're not technically.
The argument for not including Hawaii is simply that it's not part of North America.
Okay, I could see
that. All right, well, let's move to Hawaii. Let's go. It's beautiful there.
We'll drop in on Barack Obama, see if he has any spare rooms.
I don't want to go swimming where he's swimming. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I don't want to be cooking for him either.
With the fishes.
Michaels, I miss doing live shows with you while you're on your honeymoon and getting married. This is fun. This is a blast tonight.
Oh, absolutely. We should do more.
We should. We should do this again next week.
I'll be free next week.
All right. Well, I will be free too, and we'll come back. We'll do this all over for the audience once again. For all those that have been tuned in live to the show, thanks so much for your time. We hope that we're honoring your time well. Michaels, you got a show coming up on Monday on the America Out Loud News Network. Tell the listening audience all about it.
Yes, I do a show. It's called Unleashed, and that airs at 7 p.m. It's 5 days a week, 5 different hosts. I'm one of them. I kick off the week. So you can listen there. It's on all of your podcasting platforms. And it does go out at 7 o'clock, like I said. And also I have my other podcast, The Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. As always, I do 4 shows. Sometimes, most of the time, it's improv. So almost no show prep. So you get to see magic in action.
And you can go over to AmericaOutLoud.news. You can check out all of our colleagues' work, people like the great Dr. Peter McCullough, who, by the way, we got censored horribly, Dr. McCullough and I, by YouTube. And he appeared on another show immediately after he appeared on America Emboldened and got censored within 45 minutes on that show. So there is a target of people coming after Dr. McCullough at this point in time, despite the fact that he's the most peer-reviewed doctor in the world. You can fact check that one on me. Absolutely true. And he's testified on all these different cases. He cites all the literature. YouTube doesn't want people that cite the literature. And there's a lot of individuals that are very weak-minded that don't trust Dr. McCullough because they believe the propaganda that, oh, YouTube's removing him for a purpose. Well, you know what? Kiss my ass. If that's you, you can kiss it because the guy is probably one of the most down-to-earth, trustworthy people that I've had the pleasure to know, and I can't stand the fact that they're continuing to censor me and him. If you want to support this show, you can go over to my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AmericaEmboldened. You can subscribe directly there. Help block the censorship and fight back against YouTube and those that want to bring truth away from individuals. So make sure you go over. That's one way to make sure that you get that, as well as the X platform. Thank you for being a beacon of freedom and being able to uphold the First Amendment where we're broadcasting right now, as well as Rumble. And surprisingly, Instagram, they have not given us trouble. So thank you, Instagram. I didn't think I'd be saying that, but I'll give credit where credit's due. So been appreciative of that, Michaels. Been awesome.
That's fantastic. I thought Instagram was a little compromised, but that's good to hear. Well, it's still early in the election season.
Yeah, they might be like, oh, we're not paying attention to that account yet. Yeah. Maybe they'll start paying attention to it.
Those later. Nobodies. Well, we have some guests that I think a lot of people enjoy coming up.
Yes, we do.
One of them, their awful manager, but we'll have other people. And I'm looking forward to all of that.
Yeah, I got the author of 180 Degrees, Fergus, coming on to join me. We'll likely record for several hours, and I'll break it into multiple episodes. And Michaels, if you're able to join for part of that, I'll get you on, but it might be during your work day when I'm recording that. But it's a phenomenal book. If you guys haven't read it, 180 Degrees by Fergus is a really, really good starting point if you want to challenge the way the brain works on the stories that you've been told. In fact, I think it might be the most important book in this type of genre since Howard Zinn's The History of the World, which I get has the communist side to it, but the guy told things from a perspective that other people weren't willing to listen to. Well, this guy is doing the same thing. He's collected all these stories from 9/11 straight on through and does a great job in presenting the facts along the way.
Well, that'd be fantastic. Yep. You got to let me know.
I will. I will. And I'll let the listening audience know when it's happening too. All right, everybody. That is it. That is all, Michaels. I can't wait to hear Unleashed on Monday. I'll be tuning in myself, and we'll do this all again next Thursday for everybody. All right, bold Americans. That is it. That's all. We hope that we honored your time well. Thanks for joining in with us. As always, make sure you go and follow on all social media formats at Last Call Caravan. Follow Michaels, and you can follow me at Real Greg Bolden. We'll be back to do this all again next week. You've been watching and listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden and Chris Michaels, both here on the America Out Loud News Network, as well as all social media feeds. Be bold, America.